father. I swear by my father. This is a habit of some people. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called them, saying that verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most exalted, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is majestic, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids you from taking oaths by your father. Right? Some people we have heard that, you know, I swear by my father and I swear by my mother. This is very wrong and prohibited. And he who wishes to take an oath, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam continues, and he says, must take it by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or remain quiet. Either he takes it by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or remains quiet. In another hadith, Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar, he narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he who takes an oath must not take an oath but by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another hadith, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he who takes an oath must take it by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or remain quiet. This hadith is found in Sahih al-Bukhari. Another hadith narrated by Sa'ad ibn Ubadah, he narrates that once Abdullah ibn Umar heard a man take an oath by the Kaaba. He said that an oath should not be taken by other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for I have heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that whoever takes an oath by other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has indeed committed shirk. So one is only allowed to take an oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not take an oath by the Kaaba or by the mother or father or any things of that nature. In light of these various narrations, the scholars, they mentioned that it is sinful for one to take an oath by other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ghayrullah, and if one did, it will not be considered as a valid oath. One of the great scholars, Imam al-Mawsili, he was a very great Hanafi scholar, he states that, and I've translated it, so I'm paraphrasing over here, the principle is that taking an oath by other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unlawful according to us. It is prohibited, it is haram. Because by taking an oath, one expresses his reverence, ta'zeem. You know, when he says that by the Kaaba or by Safa Marwa or by my mother and father. And so this person, he is expressing his reverence, ta'zeem, for the one by whom the oath is taken. And none besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of this ta'zeem, of this reverence, of this honor. So we cannot equate anything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything we must take an oath only by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of reverence and ta'zeem. And when it is established that taking an oath by other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unlawful, then violation of the oath will not necessitate any expiation, any atonement or kafara, because it's not considered a valid oath. This is not a valid oath, taking an oath by the mother or father. Now, in another place, Allama ibn Abidin, he mentions that an oath taken by other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be valid, rather it will be unlawful. And there is a fear of disbelief if a person takes an oath by other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second point to remember is that one is permitted to take an oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his names, meaning his asma, and his attributes, his sifat. So the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is permitted to use the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is permitted to use the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take an oath. If one takes an oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or by any of his names, then that oath will be considered as a valid oath, regardless of whether people are accustomed to taking an oath by that name or otherwise. Now, some people, they take an oath by the Qur'an. And the Qur'an, it's a little bit technical, but the Qur'an is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not makhluk, it is qadim, it is part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If one takes an oath by the Qur'an, considering it to be an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that will be considered as a valid oath. But if one takes an oath by the Qur'an, saying that, you know, this Qur'an in my hand, which is in this printed book, you know, it's printed and it is written on this copy paper, then this has been created by people. The letterings of the Qur'an, the wording of the Qur'an, this is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, it is a part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, it is considered as an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is qadeem. It is qadeem, which means that it was always there. It is part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if one takes an oath intending this, that this is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this will be considered as a valid oath. But if one takes an oath by the Quran and he has this in mind, that this Quran, which is in my hand in book format, it has been, it's, you know, it's printed, it's copied, then this is the creation, right? The Quran itself is a creation. This printed format is the creation, and to take an oath by that, it will not be considered as a valid oath. Continuing on. In the Quran, it has been mentioned. I should explain the concepts of nazar as well. Nazar and yameen. Some people get this confused. Nazar is generally translated as, in English, as a vow. In Urdu, it's called just nazar. Right? In Urdu, it's, yes, mannat. So, yeah, mannat, or they call it nazar, and in English we call it a vow. So, according to the Sharia, nazar refers to the obligation of a permissible act by a Muslim. So, obligated to observe the precepts of Islam upon himself. And nazar, it consists of two types. There's two types of nazar. One is a direct obligation of an active ibadat. For example, a person takes a vow that he will fast for 3 days if I am successful in this exam. This is nazar. So this nazar should be fulfilled. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking that, Ya Rasulullah, when I was in my pre-Islamic days, then I had taken a nazar that if something happened, then I would do i'tikaf in the haram. So do I need to fulfill that nazar? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that yes, you must fulfill that nazar, because that nazar that you took, it was for a permissible act. That nazar was for a permissible act. If it was for a impermissible act, for an haram act, then the nazar will not qualify. It has to be for a permissible act, and it has to be related to ibadat. So obligation of an act of ibadat, it is contingent on the happening of an event. For example, a person takes a vow that if a certain wish or work of his is fulfilled, then he will perform 10 rakats of salat. This is nazar. Okay. Now the ibadat, it should resemble a compulsory act. One can vow that he will perform 2 rakats, and it can't be something which is not considered as ibadat. It has to be something that is considered as an ibadat. And it should not be a compulsory act. For example, one cannot vow that he will perform zuhr time at its as it is compulsory in itself. You know, if the person says that if I pass this exam, then I'm going to do Isha tomorrow. Of course, the person has to do Isha anyway. This is farz. So this is not nazar. It has to be supererogatory. It has to be an extra. It has to be nafil. And if he does not fulfill this, then he will be committing a sin. And if he does not fulfill this nazar, this mannat, then this will constitute as sin. Now yameen, in English, it is generally translated as an oath or a promise. And the definition of yameen in Sharia is to give assurance to an affair by mentioning either the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yameen could be used to assure an affair that took place in the past. For example, the defendant takes an oath in court when the plaintiff cannot provide witnesses. This is in Sharia. Or give assurance to do or refrain from an action in the future. For example, a person takes an oath that he will not smoke in the future. So this is a yameen. So when a person takes an oath upon the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do or refrain from in the future, then it is wajib and obligatory for this person to fulfill that oath. If he does not fulfill the oath and he breaks it, it will be compulsory upon this individual to give kafara, atonement, penance. Right, kafara, expiation, for misusing the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this person, he took the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he honored the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he revered the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and now he is going against, he has broken this oath. Right? This should not be taken lightly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained the kafara in the Quran. So the breaking of the kafara is, and this is not applicable in these days, is free a slave. There's no such thing as slaves in this day and age. before, because one of the commands is not being fulfilled right now, the command of jihad. So there are no slaves in this age, so it is not applicable. Feed 10 people an average of 2 meals. This is something that can be done if one breaks the oath. Number 3, clothing 10 poor people enough to cover the majority of their bodies. And if one cannot do any one of the above 3 for a valid reason, then he has to fast for 3 consecutive days. 3 consecutive days, not 1 and then, you know, miss a couple of days and 2 and miss it. It has to be 3 consecutive days. The feeding and clothing should be of moderate standard, okay, as is the norm now. One can feed or clothe 10 people in one day, or one poor person for 10 days. Okay, one cannot feed one person 10 times in one day. So you can't feed a poor person 10 times in one day. So either it's feeding or clothing 10 people in one day, or one poor person for 10 days. 2 meals, lunch and dinner. I'm going to. It's coming. One can either give each poor person 1 sa, right? 1 sa. 1 sa is 3.18 kilograms. 3.18 kilograms, about 2, 4, 6, about almost 6.5 pounds, right? 6.5, 7 pounds, 7 pounds, 7 pounds. So this is 1 sa of dates or barley, right? And this is the fitrah. One sa of dates or barley, or half sa of wheat. Half sa is approximately 1.6 kilograms. Half sa, right? 4 pounds. 4 pounds. So, or he can feed them 2 meals in a day, lunch and supper. So lunch and dinner, and bread can be counted as a meal on condition that it is made out of wheat. It can be considered as a meal. A child who has just started eating will not be counted as one person. It has to be someone baligh. So it can't be a child who has begun to eat solids. It has to be, you know, adults or people that are eating full meals. One can either call the poor people home and feed them, or one can give them food for them to do as they like, you know, whatever is easier. Now clothing, it doesn't have to be Muslim. No, it doesn't have to be Muslim. Yes, money can be given instead. Any type of clothing can be given that normally covers the body, and the person wearing it will not be counted as naked or half naked. It has to be considered enough clothes. You can't just give, you know, banyan and underwear, right? Because that's not enough. One should also bear in mind that clothing a woman will not be complete unless it includes something that will cover the head. So the scarf is also part of the attire if one is giving clothing to women. And giving only trousers, you know, the bottoms, the pants, will not be counted as clothing a person. Clothes, they don't necessarily have to be new. Old clothes can also be given on condition that they are not tattered and torn, and they should last for more than 3 months. They should last for more than 3 months. They cannot be tattered and torn clothes. If it's a fashion, then it's a different story. Besides the whatever I mentioned in Yameen, there are other statements will be regarded as Yameen, a few of them, some questions that I got. A person takes a vow but does not mention the vow. He says, I take a nazar upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such a nazar will be regarded as Yameen. This is not nazar. And the person will have to give kafara if he breaks that oath. A person takes a vow that carrying out an impermissible act, that, you know, I take a vow that I will kill a certain person, for example. So such a nazar will also be treated as yameen, and a person will have to give kafara for breaking that oath, because of course he's not going to do that. Oaths are of 3 types, ghamus, lagho, and munaqida, as mentioned in the Quran. Ghamus is a false oath which a person takes regarding the past or present, knowing that it is false. This carries a grave sin. This is, it has been mentioned alongside ishraq billah, associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, killing someone. So yameen ghamus will take one towards hellfire, because it ghamus means to drown. So it will drown a person in sin and ultimately take him into hellfire. So ghamus is a false oath which a person takes regarding the past or present, knowing that it is false, and knowing that it is false. The ruling of this oath is that a person will be sinful, he should make tawbah and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no kafara for this oath. Lagho refers to that oath which a person took regarding the past or present, thinking it to be true. It wasn't done intentionally, he just said, you know, wallahi, or billahi, or by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or I take Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qasam, or I'm taking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, that such and such event happened. But the reality was that it didn't happen. So this is called yamin al-lagho. So lagho also includes those promises which are always on people's tongues. It is hoped that a person would be forgiven for this type of oath, and you know, there's no forgiveness for this. Inshallah, he will be forgiven. Yamin al-munaqida, this is the one where if someone breaks it, then he will be liable for kafara. He will be liable to expiate and provide atonement for that oath. So munaqida is an oath which a person takes regarding the future. If a person breaks such an oath, he will have to give kafara. So this concludes the fiqh and the concept of oaths. We should not take oaths lightly. Even as mentioned by Rasulullah, one should not take oaths, and he should not make a habit of saying by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or Allah ki qasam, or you know, this qasam. Also, we should not take the oaths of our mother and father, or take oath by the Quran, or take oath by masjids, or anything that is of that nature. It is not permissible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us. You can take the oath if you want to stress something. You want to emphasize on something, then you can take the oath. For example, if you want to take an oath by saying that I will not commit this sin, I will not say anything bad, I will not be abusive, for instance. I will not belittle anyone. But then what happens is that a person belittles someone, right? Then that person would be liable of expiating that promise and that oath. There has to be something specified after that. Allah ki kasam kha ke kya bolu? There has to be something after it. Yes, it's all. Yes. So normally oaths should be taken for something that is positive. Actually, at all times oaths should be taken for something that is positive. There's no oath for committing sin. Right? There's no oath, for example, if someone takes an oath that I will commit this sin, na'uzu billah. Right? Then this is not an oath. Yes, then that's also considered as oath. And if one goes against that, if it is false, then he will be obligated to provide kafara.
Another question. You mentioned about the Quran. In our countries, particularly like Pakistan and Islamic countries, they use the Quran as taking the oath, the court.
The court, yes.
So we need that?
It's not valid. It's not valid. Because this is similar to what. Over here that they put their hand on the Bible, so this is the Shabbat.
do that thing, but he take an oath, which is meaningless.
If a person has a habit of lying, and he takes an oath that, Wallahi, I will never lie again. Wallahi, I will never lie again. And then he lies. Then he has to provide expiation. There will be atonement for that.
How about this saying the oath without mentioning the name of Allah? I take oath like they do it here.
I swear.
Don't take the name of Allah or anybody's. Is it a valid oath?
If the aura is, even if the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not mentioned, right, then it will be implied. If a Muslim is saying it, when we say I swear, we omit the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but our intent is Allah at the time, that I swear, meaning I swear by Allah. That is the mahzuf over there. That is what is hidden. The hidden meaning is that by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then that would be considered as an oath as well.
Sometimes you're also right.
Conditionally, he takes the oath.